text today is Guaranteed Survival. And our devotional background study comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? Not at this time. I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class.
Our lesson today is entitled Guaranteed Survival. And before I start on the reading lesson, I just want to preface this lesson by saying that we all have a tendency to moan and complain, and we all have a tendency to worry, and that's just seems to be a natural state of affairs as far as we as human beings are concerned. It's kind of what we do. But it's not what God has planned for us to do. And that's going to be kind of what our lesson is. The reading lesson begins in the 6th chapter of Matthew in the 21st verse. And I'm going to, and the 25th verse, I'm going to back up to the 24th verse. And Terry has already read this, but I'm going to read it again to go into our lesson. This is Jesus. Now, this is part of his Sermon on the Mount. And this, there has probably never been a greater sermon than what Jesus preached as he did about what we call today the Sermon on the Mount. And the instructions in there can lay out, that he gave us, can lay out our whole life if we'll just follow what he says. Now, in the 24th verse, it says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon being riches or things of this life, the physical aspect of this life. Now, Jesus specifically says we cannot serve God and the things of this life. So, where does that leave you? Well, we all have a tendency to worry about how we're going to get through today and go into tomorrow. We all have a tendency to worry about, do we have enough money to get through today, to go in tomorrow? And in this day and time, it's just part of the national pastime, I think, because of the economic conditions of this country, to worry about our jobs, to worry about our money, that we're going to have enough to food to eat, they were going to have enough gas to get somewhere, with gas now approaching $4 a gallon. We all, I think, being human beings, worry about a sundry of issues. And then comes in your family. I mean, we just hit on our livelihood, but then we all have worries about our family too. So we kind of have a tendency to be a worrisome people. Now, some of this comes to the point that it consumes us. Now, really the lesson is concerning our day-to-day survival. And there are a lot of things that we do, that we strive to do to allay our fears. And, well, let's just talk about money, for instance. There's a lot of people that this morning are striving to make more and more because that's what they want to do, or because they're worried that they need more and more. And so Jesus here has given us a direct commandment in the verse that I'm about to read, the 25th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, this is a commandment that he's given here. He has expressly said to those he was speaking to, and that includes us, because he's speaking to us through these scriptures here. Take no thought for your life. Now, when you mull that over in your mind, you go, whoa, that's almost impossible to do. That's an almost impossible thing to even contemplate, that we are to take no thought for our life. He goes on to say, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? That's a question that he's asked. Is not the body more than the food that we eat? Is not the body more than the clothes that we wear? Now, he's trying to point out our weaknesses here. Because if we don't worry about where the next meal's coming from, where is the next meal coming from? If we don't worry about having enough gas to get somewhere, where is that gas going to come from? Well, in the 26th verse, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? Think about that. If you want to be taller, which one of you can do that? None of us can do that. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? This is a clincher here. O ye of little faith. Now, in the 21st verse of the 21st chapter of Matthew, it says, well, let me back up and give you just a little something. He had his apostles there, and he was sitting under a fig tree, and And he said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And the fig tree immediately withered away. And it says, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is a fig tree withered away? Or they said, how fast? Look how fast this tree withered when he said, let there not be any more fruit. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, getting back to our lesson. Our whole existence should be based around our faith. Faith that God can take care of us. And all of these other worries should be put aside and let God handle them in His own way and in His own time. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The concerns of this life should always be secondary to the concerns of our next life. Did I say that right? The concerns of this life should always be secondary to our concerns of the next life. That's where our effort should be, is toward our next life. And we should be in a shape that we let God have us in this life and put our faith and trust in Him that He's going to take care of us. Now, a friend of mine is about to retire. And so we've been laughing and joking about whether he's going to have enough money to retire and all this. And one thing he said, and it's true, and he said that God has taken care of him from the time he was born. And he trusts that God will take care of him when he retires. I mean, retirement is, I just retired. It's a huge change in your life. Huge. Because your life is suddenly completely different than what it was. And so you have worries and you have thoughts run through your mind about what this is going to mean to be retired. But what he said is true. God has taken care of us from the time that we were born, that He's going to surely take care of us for the remainder of our life. And if we would all have that thought, if we would all have that much faith, that's exactly what God will do. Because He said He would. He said, don't take thought of any of this. Because it takes you away from what you should be concerned about. You should be concerned about our next life. And what we can take into it. I'm not talking about material possessions. I'm talking about our spiritual self. You know, there's rewards that are going to be there for His children that serve Him. And that should be more of a concern than what little things that we might acquire here in this life. And anyway, it says, if your mind is focused where it's supposed to be focused, He says, all these things that you're worried about will be given to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. In other words, don't worry about the future. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I kind of lost out in that as I studied this. And didn't quite exactly know what it meant. So I ran a bunch of references on it. And I'm going to give you my take on it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day has its own troubles, trials, and tribulations. Every day there's something. It does us no good to worry about tomorrow. I mean, we're here today. We have enough to worry about today. Let's don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be here, and it has its own issues. And if we put it in God's hands, those issues, and God never, He never promised us a bed of roses. I mean, this is not saying that all everything is just going to be easy and great. But we can lessen those burdens if we'll just turn it over and put it in God's hands. And that's where, well, I was going to say we, but that's where I have a problem with, is getting in a place to where you can say, God, just take care of this. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. I just need your help to take care of this because I'm just a human being. That's all I am. There's nothing that I can do to alleviate whatever it is that's going to be coming at me tomorrow. There's nothing I can do about it. But surely you can look down upon me and help me through this. Now that's the sort of the attitude that Jesus is telling us that we need to take here. Because, I'll say this again, He knows what we need. He knows what we stand in need of. He knows what troubles we have. He knows what problems that we encounter day to day. He is our lawgiver. He is our comforter. He is our caregiver. He is our Savior. And we owe Him our full attention each and every day. Now, notice back at the beginning of the reading, we said, we read, where the fowls of the air sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Now, you might say, well, we don't really have to worry about working because God knows what we stand in need of and He's going to provide it. Well, that's not exactly the route we're going to. He's not telling us to just sit down and just wait for the blessings to roll in. That's not what He put us here on this earth to do. It does not mean that we should proceed blindly in this life and expect God is going to be there and help us. Because even the birds, they may be provided for, but they've got to go get it. They can't sit in their nest and wait for it to fall in and that be all there is to it. Now, He provides for them, but they got to go get it. But they don't have to worry. It's there for them to take. All they got to do is go get it. Now, in the 28th chapter of Proverbs, He commands us to diligently know the state of our flock. So you know what that means? That means to know what you got, to take care of it, to understand your work, your ethics, and whatever you do out here to make money. But don't let it be all-consuming. Now, you've all heard that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, people use that a lot. But notice what it said. Well, let's just go over and read it. It's in 1 Timothy. Sixth chapter. 10th verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you must notice there, he didn't say that. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He didn't say that money was the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. So you can have money, So let's not be worried about that, but let's put it in the place that it belongs. Let's put it down the list somewhat beneath our service to God. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that goes back to me saying that if God would just let me win the lottery, I'll show him how good a steward I can be with that money. Because I won't love it, I'll do good with it, I promise you. But you see, a lot of times we let that slip aside. And we start thinking about more and more money. That's what we want, more and more money. We want this, want that. I've got people in my family that have fallen after money rather than following after God. And they have a lot of possessions. They have a lot of things. But what is it that they really have? Jesus is instructing us that God will take care of us if we'll take care, well, I guess if we take care of Him in a way that He wants us to serve Him and be His servants and honor Him and give Him honor and glory with our lives. And if we do, I'm not saying you're going to get, I won't ever say that you're going to get everything that you want, but you will get what God sees that you need. Now, we may never in this life have everything we want, but I pray God He will suffice it to provide us with our needs. And that should be enough. It should be enough that we give God honor and glory and then stand back and let Him provide for us. And I think our lives will be much more better. I believe we'll be better blessed. I believe we'll be happier if we put all these worldly thoughts and concerns behind us and look to God, who is our Savior and our friend, who loves us and wants us to have. Listen, the Scriptures say God wants us to have things. It's not that He don't want us to have anything. He wants us to have things. But He also wants us to give Him honor and glory. And that's where I know I fall short many times. Because as I said in the beginning of the lesson, I'm sure that we all can say that we've not been the very best stewards of God's love, that we have failed many times to serve Him in a manner that He would be most pleased with. I can only really speak for myself, but just the fallacies of humankind tells me that most humans on this earth fall short in giving God His due and having enough faith to know that He will provide. He will provide. He will give us exactly what we stand in need of. That's my lesson. Does anyone have anything that they would like to say?
Okay, you know, you see God's people who get cancer and stuff like that, and that is scary for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So money, yeah, you know, had money troubles in the past and probably worried, and I'm sure I'll be worried in the future, but not too much. I tend to pray about it and just let God take care of it. And I do, you know, worry about my children. There's not a thing you can do for your children but pray for them. So, you know, I try to leave that in the Lord's hand. But health is my downfall. That's the thing that's got me a little bit.
And you wonder why.
You do.
You do. But let me, I don't know why this came to my mind, but let me just give you an example of something. And I've told you, I've told everybody this many times. My grandmother had, I guess, what is considered to be dementia. And she could not remember who anyone was. She could not, she did not recognize who Mama was. She always knew who I was, though, and I just never could figure that out. She knew who I was, but she didn't know who Mama was. But she couldn't remember anything much about her life. But she would sit in her room and read her Bible and tell me about the time God saved her soul. Now you may wonder why that she had to suffer like that. But there's also a lesson there that stayed with me. To this day, it's still there. That she was able to, in her latter days, still talk about God saving her soul. She never forgot that. And so I don't know why we face sicknesses and health issues and this, that, and the other. But God will take whatever it is. And it'll be used for His honor and glory. And who knows how many people that will reach, however it may reach. But that's something that I will never, I hope, forget, is how strong my grandmother was and her love for God. I mean, I can only look to that as an example. And I know that I have fallen short so many times. But I can always go back to my grandmother and look at her life and see how much she loved God and take comfort for that and encouragement for that. And for whatever reasons, it helps me. It helps me.
I appreciate that. I do.
Anyone else?
You know what, Bert? People like Cindy Mom and all kind of reasons. People in general who are in some mental state of mind or where they are, we don't know what they're thinking inside. If they can't express it. They may be fasting in the Lord. And we see them suffering what we know of physically on the outside, deep within their mind and stuff. You don't know what's going on in there. And I mean, it's a tough thing to sit and watch. Just like you said, there's a reason, there's a purpose. And I've seen someone who's seen his mom and I brought her back.
You don't know. But let's give God honor and glory for whatever occurrences there are in our lives, because He's the one that's in control. He's the one that can take care of us. Anyone else?
Praise God for good things and bad things too.
Yeah. We are. Because he never said there was all going to be good. Anyone else? If not, Brother Billy, would you dismiss us?